Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand. Created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our primary day preview is complete. As I said earlier, since September 11th, 2001 was primary day in New York State, we didn't want to have another case of democracy delayed or minimized by not talking at all about the primary just one day away, as we normally would the day before a primary election. So we spent some of this morning talking about it there with Errol Cockfield from Newsday. But for the most part this morning, we are offering you our airwaves as a place to connect with other WNYC listeners, other New Yorkers, and whoever else from our region, our country, our world, whoever else happens to be listening on this fifth anniversary of the September 11th attacks on the radio, on the web, on the satellite. We have been hearing many of your calls, taking many of your emails on the question, what have we learned, and anything else that you want to say. So we'll get back to some of those phone calls and emails at 212-433-WNYC. And helping us to do that right now and bringing some stories of his own, because that's what he does, is David Isay, public radio producer and founder of the StoryCorps booth at Grand Central Terminal, as well as the mobile StoryCorps booths that roam the country trying to make a nation of oral historians out of all of us. And David, I'm really honored to have you here on the fifth anniversary of September 11th, because I think that the work that you do, having people tell their personal stories, September 11th related, at your Lower Manhattan booth, which I neglected to mention, and everywhere, is just such a beautiful thing and so important to our country.
Thanks, Brian. It's good to be here. Yeah, we actually announced last week with the World Trade Center Memorial Museum, and we collect stories from about September 11th from all of our booths, and we announced an initiative to try and collect one story for at least one story for each of the 2,979 people killed on both September 11th and on February 26, 1993.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. You're trying to collect one story, at least one story, about each of the victims.
Exactly. You know, when we opened StoryCorps, it hasn't quite been 3 years, but when we opened up, one thing that we saw very quickly was that people were coming to the booth to remember people who had died, and that was not something that I expected to see. So when we were approached by the LMDC to open up a booth downtown, it seemed to make a lot of sense. And obviously, we're creating this oral history of America, and September 11th is the most significant historic event of our times.
So. And you've brought some examples of that tape.
I did.
For our listeners to hear. Why don't you set up the first one?
Sure. This is a woman named Monique Ferrer, who came to StoryCorps to remember her ex-husband, Michael Trinidad, who was killed on September 11th, 2001.
I met Michael at a Halloween party. I was 14 and he was 16 years old. And when I saw him, I knew that he was going to be my boyfriend. And we got married when I was 19. And we were both kids. We really didn't know what next, you know, party, get married, and, you know, now what? When we were divorced, I remember the kids telling me that their father confided in them with a secret and they didn't want to tell me. And I'm like, well, what's the secret? And they said, well, Daddy still loves you. He doesn't want us to tell you. And I said, well, I know. I've always known and I love him too. But Mommy and Daddy are gone their separate ways, but we'll always be a family and we'll always be your mom and dad. On 9/11, I remember getting up to take my daughter. She had a doctor's appointment, so my daughter was home. At 9:04, I got a phone call, and it was Michael. and he was calling from the 103rd floor. And the first thing that he said was, "I'm calling to say goodbye." And I said, "Why? Where are you going?" And he said, "Well, I'm in the building that was just hit by a plane." He just wanted to tell me how much he loved the children. And he says, "You know, I also want to tell you that I always loved you." And I said, "I know. The kids told me." And I'm remarried, so my husband was next to me, and I asked my husband to get on the phone, and I thought maybe my husband could talk him into finding an exit. And when my husband got on the phone, he asked my husband if he would be my children's father. And my husband said, "You're going to be coming home. You're going to be their dad, and I'm their dad too." And he's like, "I don't think I'm going to make it." And my daughter was there, and she saw me becoming a little hysterical, and I didn't know whether to put her on or not because I didn't know how he would react. He thought she was at school. You know, even though we weren't together anymore, it just really breaks my heart that he's not here for them. And as much as he used to drive me crazy, he was my family and my best friend.
So that story about one of the people who died on September 11th, recorded in the StoryCorps booth, and David Isay, the creator of StoryCorps, with us on WNYC. You know, it's more powerful for the fact that they were estranged, and
yeah,
all the ambivalence that calls up.
Sure, and but it's there are so many stories by so many people there are so many stories about each person who perished on 9/11 that can be told, and that's part of what we're doing with StoryCorps, is saying anybody who wants to come in and remember anyone who died on September 11th, so we could have you can do as many interviews as you want about any individual person, so you could have parents come in and kids and friends. And we encourage everyone who lost someone on September 11th to participate.
And it's an ambitious project. And as you say, just announced last week with the World Trade Center Memorial Foundation announcing the initiative to honor the stories of the lives lost on 9/11. So for people out there who may want to tell a story of one of those who perished on September 11th, they should contact StoryCorps?
Yeah, we have a special reservation number for families and for survivors and rescue workers to call, and that's 646-723-7027. And again, that's for families who lost loved ones and rescue workers and survivors who want to tell their stories, those most directly impacted by the events of September 11th. And everybody else, of course, StoryCorps is open to the general public also to tell stories about anything they want to talk about. And you can make reservations at StoryCorps.net or at 800-850-4406.
And, of course, one of the things that we're doing here this morning is inviting people to call with their September 11th stories. And before we hear some more tape from the StoryCorps booth, let's take another caller. Julie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
We've talked a lot about community, and I wanted to comment that with all of the politics that pervade the rebuilding efforts, both at the World Trade Center site and in the Middle East as we try to construct democracy, I encourage people to think about how to build or rebuild community in their own lives. I arrived in New York City from Chicago just a few days before 9/11 in 2001, and I had just graduated from journalism school from college. And after losing a friend of mine who died in the attacks, I went to work at Ground Zero, where I spent 3 months managing a dining room for one of the rescue and recovery workers. And in the 5 years since 9/11, what stays with me every day after my time downtown is the sense of community that developed: race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, gender, sexual orientation. All of these differences faded away as people came together to cooperate and to support one another and encourage one another during this time when integrity was so important, and it's so important still. And because of that community, I stayed in New York, and I try to engage that spirit in my professional and personal life to be more patient and more compassionate, more understanding of those who are different than I am, and to imbue that sense of community into my life. So I live 9/11 every day. And even as
all those identity group differences came back to the fore.
Right.
Julie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let's go right on to another story from the StoryCorps booth. David, very briefly, set this up.
Sure. This is Jessica DeRubio, who came to remember her dad, Dave DeRubio, who was a firefighter with Engine Company 226 in Brooklyn. Three of Dave's brothers are also firefighters. He died on September 11th at the age of 38. This is Jessica DeRubio, who is now 17 at StoryCorps.
When he died, I was 12. Sometimes it's hard for me to remember him because I was little, but I have to say that his hugs, like, you know, I remember them so much. When I used to hug him, the whole world disappeared because he just would cover me and that would be it. Ever since I could remember, he wanted to be a firefighter. He wanted to be just like his brothers. And I remember he finally did it and he called me on the phone and he was just ecstatic. Like, he didn't know what to do. He couldn't believe it. It was his dream. He never wanted to move up. He never wanted to be a captain. He wanted to stay a firefighter for the rest of his life. No matter how much I want him to be here, I still know that his dream was always to be a firefighter, and I don't think he would have wanted to have died any other way.
Want to talk about that family?
Sure. Well, Jessica came to the booth with a very good friend of hers, her best friend, and I know her mom had the interview afterwards, and her mom was interviewed, I think, by her sister. And this is one of many firefighters' families who've come to the booth to remember loved ones. We've also seen lots of firefighters come to the booth. And something that's kind of remarkable that we've seen is firefighters who've never talked about what happened on September 11th before, hadn't gone to counseling, have come to StoryCorps because I think they feel like they're contributing something to history, and if maybe they would feel uncomfortable doing something they might think of as self-indulgent, like therapy, and they come to StoryCorps to cry and talk about what happened on that day.
In our last 30 seconds or so, do you find that the nature of the stories that people come to tell at the StoryCorps booths regarding September 11th change over time?
Well, we've only been recording these stories for a year now. So, I think what people are focusing on a lot is who their loved one was, not for what happened on September 11th, but who they were as a father, as a son, as a brother. One thing we see at the StoryCorps booth with September 11th families that we don't see otherwise is that StoryCorps is usually people come in pairs. It's a grandmother and a granddaughter. And with StoryCorps 9/11 stories, we often see families coming by themselves. And when someone comes by themselves, they're interviewed by a facilitator, which is fine as well.
Individuals coming by themselves.
They come by themselves when they're telling 9/11 stories most often.
Why?
It's so painful and it's so frightening for them. They just want to come by themselves.
David Isay, creator of StoryCorps. Give that phone number again.
The phone number for families is 646-723-7027, and for the general public, 800-850-4406.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, Brian.
And one of the things that we're doing this morning is listening to some music that some of you suggested. We asked last week for ideas for music tracks appropriate to today or that you've listened to since September 11th and found comfort in or inspiration of any kind. Here's one that was suggested, If It Be Your Will by Anthony.
If it be your will that I speak no more, and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more, I shall abide until I am spoken for, if it be your will. if it be your will, that there is a voice from the broken hill, and I will sing to you from this broken hill. No, your praises, they shall ring. And if it be your will to let me sing,
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.